This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Tom Gelton, sitting in for Neil Conan. The gunman who killed six people and wounded three others yesterday at a Sikh place of worship in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, has been identified. Authorities say it was Wade Michael Page, 40 years old. He was a U.S. Army veteran discharged in 1998. The Southern Poverty Law Center says he was at one time the leader of what they say was a racist white power band. But questions remain about the shooter's motives. The FBI is investigating the crime as an act of domestic terrorism, and the American Sikh community is not new to discriminatory acts of violence and harassment. If you have a connection to this incident, perhaps because you live in the Milwaukee area or because you are yourself a Sikh, tell us what you're talking about today in your homes, at your offices, in your places of worship. Our number is 800-989-8255. You can also email talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website, npr.org. Later in the program, we'll hear from the Sikh community. But first, Dina Temple-Raston is NPR's counterterrorism correspondent. She's been busy covering the investigation and joins us now from our New York bureau. Dina, thanks for coming in.
You bet. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah. Listen, some potentially important information coming out now about Wade Michael Page. Fill us in as best you can.
Well, I think we need to look at him a little bit more holistically than we have been in the early hours after this happened. I mean, we know that he joined the Army in 1992, and as you said, he was discharged in 1998. He was given what's called a general discharge, which is something below an honorable discharge. And we know that he was a sergeant and had been demoted by two ranks to specialist. He had some brushes with the law in Colorado and in Texas. He had a DUI. I think that was dismissed, and then he had some mischief charges. We also understand that he was ineligible for reenlistment in the military, and that could have had something to do with these charges. We don't know exactly why. We know he was in a psychological operations unit at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, but he was never posted overseas. And as you said, there are some indications that he might have been a neo-Nazi of some sort. The Southern Poverty Law Center said he was part of this white power music scene since about 2000, and he actually started a band called End Apathy in 2005. But I'm quick to point out here, while people have been talking a lot about his connection to this white power music movement, the FBI hasn't confirmed any of these neo-Nazi details.
Well, the first talking about his military background, the fact that he was discharged now 14 years ago and did not serve during a time of war would probably suggest that that military service may be irrelevant to what happened here. I'm sure a lot of people are looking much more to these alleged associations with white power or supremacist movements.
Yes, very much, because those are more recent. I mean, 1998 was a long time ago, and if he had been discharged more recently, I think people might be wondering about PTSD or what had happened to him during the war, but he was never overseas, and I think that's an important detail to sort of focus on here. And I think people are focusing on this neo-Nazi angle because apparently some witnesses who were there in the temple said that they saw a 9/11 tattoo on him and that they thought that was some sort of indication of his white supremacy.
Well, Dina, authorities are investigating this as an act of domestic terrorism. How do they decide when to consider a mass shooting like this an act of possible terrorism? When do they not move toward that option? When does the FBI get involved as opposed to local police? Can you fill us in on that?
Sure. I think that this domestic terrorism sort of label has taken on more importance than maybe it should at this point in the investigation. Essentially what happened is this is a case that spans more than just Wisconsin. It spans a couple of different states where he lived, North Carolina where he was posted, and generally when you have a kind of crime that spans more than one state, the FBI steps in. In addition to that, apparently local law enforcement said that they felt that the FBI had more resources to investigate this. So the FBI assigned a unit to investigate. And the unit they assigned is from the domestic terrorism unit. And I was told by my sources there that not too much should be read into that. I mean, clearly they wouldn't assign a mortgage fraud unit to do this.
Well, what difference would it make if it were determined that this was domestic terrorism in terms of how it is prosecuted? If they were to determine, for example, that this could have been a hate crime, would that make any difference in the way they investigate or prosecute it?
It wouldn't make a difference in the way that they investigate it, but it would make a difference in the way they prosecute it. But this is more of a decision that's made not from in the FBI, but at the Department of Justice when they decide how to prosecute a case. And very often, there are times that they don't want to make something a hate crimes case. Maybe they don't have the right kind of evidence they need to make that kind of case, that they'll just make a more simple, straightforward murder case. So, you know, I know people in the Sikh community in Wisconsin are talking about this being a hate crime, but I'm not quite sure that they've determined that yet.
Well, in fact, Sikhism is completely distinct and separate from Islam, even though Sikhs are often mistaken for Muslims because of their appearance and dress. But isn't it true that even the FBI lumps Sikhs in with Muslims when they are suspected to be targets of hate crime?
Well, yes. I guess I would say that if you have a neo-Nazi, and we don't know if the shooter is in fact a neo-Nazi, but if you have someone who's a white supremacist or neo-Nazi, you know, they're not going to focus on Muslims or Sikhs. I mean, they're going to notice focus on people who are not white and not like them. So I think there's been this sort of understanding that this must be some mistake looking at Sikhs as Muslims, but it's very possible that he just looked at them as foreigners.
Of course, and we are going to be talking later in more depth about the Sikh religion and the Sikh community. One thing you haven't mentioned, Dina, there have been some reports that the shooter had tattoos. What do you know about that?
Well, it's interesting because the witnesses who were there in the temple apparently very much focused on this one tattoo he had that was sort of a 9/11 tribute tattoo, and they focused on that as being a sign of his white supremacy. But in fact, these 9/11 tribute tattoos very often are worn by the military, or at least put on by military people, or first responders like firemen or law enforcement people. And there are some pictures that are supposed to be of him in his band about 5 years ago, and he was covered in tattoos. So the question is, why did people zero in on this particular tattoo? And we haven't gotten to the bottom of that yet.
Well, you know, Dean, I want to hear from a caller first at this point. Yassine is actually calling us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He is a Muslim. And Yassine, you feel for the Sikh community. Is that correct?
Yes, and I live in Milwaukee, and I used to work with the Sikh community. And they are very nice people. I'm trying to extend my sympathy to the Sikh community.
Yes, and what are your own connections to the Sikh community? You live in Milwaukee. I'm sure you know Sikhs. What kind of kinship, if any, do you feel with that community?
Okay, sir. And I used to work at the gas station in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I know now a lot of them. There is some type of fear in the Sikh and also the Muslim community in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But, you know.
Yassine, is this incident being discussed much in your own community?
And exactly, sir. I was last night at the mosque.
Yeah. I'm afraid, Yassine, that your call is your phone is betraying you here. We're going to go back to Dina Temple Raston now, Dina. What is the next step in this investigation?
Well, one of the things that we heard in a press conference this morning from the FBI and police officials was that they have a second person of interest. And they've released a photo, and they're trying to have the public help them identify them. That's been sort of the big break in the case that we've heard since he was actually named this morning, and some details of his past in the military have been revealed.
a second person of interest, even though the police chief earlier said in his press conference today that there was only one person involved and that we should or the community should be relaxed about or not worried about the prospect of something else happening.
Well, a person of interest, it could be anybody. It could be somebody who happened to have walked by the temple when this was happening and they caught him on a security camera, that sort of thing. So I wouldn't look too much into that, except that they have released this other photo and they'd like to talk to this person.
Dina, give us a little background here on what has happened in the past. We've mentioned that the Sikh community has been targeted in the past by what appear to be hate crime type attacks. Fill us in on what this community has been subject to in the post 9/11 period.
Well, there's been a lot of confusion, as you had said earlier, between Sikhs and Muslims. And in particular, I think that the sort of famous case was a Sikh a gas station owner in Arizona was killed because someone thought he was Muslim. And the man who killed him went out saying, "I'm going to go and shoot myself some," and these are his words, "a towel head." And he ended up shooting the Sikh who had nothing to do with anything.
Right. And in fact, there's been some concern by members of Congress and others that the definition of hate crimes legislation needs to clarify exactly who the Sikhs are and where they should be included.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think this has been really an issue that they've been having to deal with ever since 9/11. And I'm not sure that that clarity is where it needs to be. But again, I guess I would say that before we jump to the conclusion that this was someone who was mistakenly targeting Sikhs for and thinking that they were Muslim, we actually have no idea what the shooter's motive was, and we don't know if he knew exactly what he was aiming at or not.
Well, thanks, Dina, for being so careful in clarifying what we know and don't know. Dina Temple-Raston is NPR's counterterrorism correspondent. She's been covering this story from our bureau in New York. Dina, thanks for being with us today.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. We're talking about the shooting at a Sikh place of worship in Oak Creek. After a short break, Chuck Kornbach joins us from Wisconsin Public Radio with an update on today's events. Stay with us. I'm Tom Gelton. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Tom Gelton. Today we're talking about the massacre in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. The suspect in the shooting, who's been identified as Wade Michael Page, reportedly went on a rampage in a Sikh place of worship, terrifying congregants and killing six. The first officer to respond was shot and injured, and a second officer then shot and killed Page. If you're somehow connected to the story, if you're a Sikh, or if you live in the Milwaukee area, how are you talking about what happened with your kids, your coworkers, and your friends? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, or email us, talk@npr.org. Sikhs around the country are keeping their Gurdwara doors open to all comers on this day of tragedy. And in Oak Creek, the Sikh community has just wrapped up a press conference. Chuck Kornbach is just back from that press conference, and he joins us now from his office at Wisconsin Public Radio. Hello, Chuck.
Good afternoon, Tom.
So what did you learn at this press conference?
Well, it was, as I say, about an hour long, and it was emotional at times. There were several messages that there's great sadness in the Sikh community here in the Milwaukee area, and there were some visitors from Chicago and New York and so on. So great sadness at the senselessness, they called it, of the shootings. But there was also a lot of praise for how law enforcement is handling things, and also the federal government's support in this matter. There was also some emotional comments from the son of the temple president who died. The son, Amardeep Kalika, went on at length about how his father was a very patriotic American and flew a very tall flag in the front yard. So there was this whole mix, a whole range of things.
You're not mentioning any sort of sentiment of anger or desire for, kind of some kind of action, demands for some type of action. What you're portraying, it sounds to me, is actually a pretty peaceful sort of response on the part of the Sikh community there in Milwaukee.
At least of the 8 or 9 people that spoke, the consistent message was of peace and so on. There were 2 folks in the national, a couple of the national Sikh Coalition and the Sikh American Legal Defense and Education Fund. They offered a little more stronger remarks, just sort of saying, you know, just because Sikhs usually wear turbans and men have long facial hair does not mean they're terrorists. There was references to 9/11 and so on, and some of the atrocities the Sikhs have faced since that time, murders and other things since that time. So there was reference that they wanted to get the message straight that there is that Sikhs are a peaceful, loving people, believing in God, believing in families, believing in being generous to less fortunate.
Now, Chuck, we mentioned that 5 Sikhs were killed, plus a policeman who was one of the first responders there. What about the injured? What can you tell us about their condition, including the policeman who was, the policeman who was shot by the shooter?
Correct. It is my understanding that no police officer.
Yes, I'm sorry. Thanks for correcting me on that.
Yes, there were 6 members of the Sikh community that died. There is an officer who remains in critical condition at a local hospital, as do 2 other members of the Sikh community. So the 3 remain in serious condition at the hospital, and the ages of the this died range all the way up to 84 years old. And that one of the points made at the news conference a little while ago is, what do you tell the children of the community? What do the elders tell the children about what happened? How do you help them process things?
And what can you tell us anything about the preparations for burial and funeral services, et cetera?
Well, that hasn't been fully announced. There is going to be a prayer vigil at the other Sikh temple in suburban Milwaukee, the community of Brookfield, this evening, a vigil and a meeting. At the news conference with law enforcement held 2 hours ago, the Sikh members were allowed to ask questions, and one of them asked about, well, when will you be able to clear the temple where the shootings occurred so we can prepare for funerals? The FBI wouldn't give a firm answer, but they hoped maybe by Thursday, and that seemed to satisfy the Sikh person that answered the question, that asked the question.
Okay, Chuck, stay on the line, if you would, for a few minutes. I want to go to a caller now, Rebecca, who's on the line from New Haven, Connecticut. Thanks for your call. Rebecca, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thank you for having me. The reason why I'm calling is because I feel deeply, deeply connected with the Sikh community, although, you know, living in Connecticut. And the reason why is, one, I'm a U.S. Army veteran, and 2 is I'm a Muslim American whose life was actually saved by a Sikh. I was doing relief work in Indian-occupied Kashmir, and there was fighting going on, and there was, you know, street fires, and my husband and I were very easily, very vulnerable. We're American and could have very easily been taken advantage. There was gangs all around us and fighting, and 2 Sikh men came by on their motorcycles, and they were our, like, saviors at that time. They saved our lives. They took us to a safe place, and so I've always felt so much gratitude for the Sikh community for that reason.
Well, that's
And second, I also feel a deep connection with them because I do feel that the shooter chose the Sikh community because of 9/11 ignorance and labeling entire faith communities for, you know, the atrocities of 19 insane men. And I do feel that the label of terrorism is absolutely important, because when we recognize that label makes it something that's not based on ethnicity or religion, but on insane or on people that think that they can take other people's lives, then we recognize that terrorism is much broader and people start to change their minds. And I think that people who would commit hate crimes are more likely to rationalize before they commit such atrocities. And there's a verse in the Quran that says, when you take one person's life, it's as if you have taken, you know, and the life of humanity. And the same, it says that when you save a person's life, it's like you've saved humanity. I just want to extend the message to the Sikh community that I believe that they're that they're heroes. And I'm pregnant right now, and my prayers are extra special in our belief system. And I want to tell them that I'm sending all my prayers to them.
Well, thank you so much, Rebecca. Your testimony is really relevant and heartwarming. And in fact, we have another caller now on the line from also from Milwaukee. Kashif, you're on the line. Kashif, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Tell us what you're hearing today, what you're talking about in your community.
Yeah, actually, I'm a cab driver, and I drive with the same guy from Sikh community. And the problem with the community is after 9/11, there's an identity mistaken too, which everybody's talking about. My opinion is church, mosque, and assembly people come together, collaborate, and educate more and more.
Well, I'm afraid that his line, Kashif's line, dropped on us. This is interesting that among the first callers that we're getting about this case have been several Muslims who feel solidarity with the Sikh community and great sympathy for the Sikh community at this time. Chuck, you're still on the line with us. Can you tell us a little bit about both the Sikh and the Muslim communities in the Milwaukee area? How important are they? What's their history, et cetera?
Well, the Sikh community is about 3,000 or so, which in a metro area of Milwaukee, 1.5 million, is very small, of course. The Muslim community, I think, is a little bit larger. They have been more vocal on some issues, especially before and after 9/11. It's largely, I think, though, still a community that keeps to themselves. There's been very few incidents along the way, but now this tragedy in Oak Creek will reveal some additional feelings, I guess.
And we have another caller, Vivek, who's on the line from Milwaukee. And Vivek, I understand that you are a Sikh. Can you hear us? Vivek, you're on the line. Thanks for calling Talk of the Nation. Can you hear us?
I can actually hear you now. I'm sorry.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay.
Hello.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I'm from Milwaukee. I'm part of the Sikh community. I'm part Sikh. I'm not very active in the religious ceremonies, but I go at least once a month, and I was debating going yesterday to that temple. That's where my parents go and my sisters go. And, one of the talks that a lot of us, I'm a director of engineering, a lot of us educated people are having is that, what is this country coming to in terms of gun control? I understand people have the right to bear arms, but do they have the right to bear semi-automatic and assault rifles? Because you have all these people with free opinions and free thinking. And, I don't want to say the neo-Nazi guy was manipulated or whatever happened to him, but if you arm him and give him a semi-automatic or an assault rifle, well, they will do what they think they should do to protect, their community or whatever. So I think we really need to think about these gun laws. Wisconsin has become one of the most progressive states now for owning a gun and carrying concealed weapons. And I really think we need to go back and look at this, looking at Colorado, looking at, what else, other things that can happen. I just, I think it's madness, and I think it's crazy, And I was looking at a CNN on Fareed Zakaria where they were saying, out of the whole world, out of 100 people, we have 88.8 people that are armed. And the rest of the world is about 1 in 100 or less. I want people to have free opinions, even if they're neo-Nazis, so be it, but I don't want them to have guns. But at least semi-automatic and assault rifles.
Yeah, well, after every mass shooting, this, of course, becomes an important subject. And I'm sure that our policy on gun control will be discussed in the aftermath of this shooting, as it has been in the aftermath of other shootings as well. I want to go now to Navdeep Singh. He's a policy advisor for the Sikh American Legal Defense and Education Fund. He joins us here in Studio 3A as we talk about the shooting yesterday in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Let me ask you first, Navdeep, because I have said Sikh community. Some people have said Sikh community. Help us. What this is still, I think, for many Americans, a community that is a bit unfamiliar. First of all, how should we pronounce the word Sikh or Sikh?
Well, good afternoon, Tom, and thank you for having me here today. The preferred term is Sikh. Sikh just happens to be because a lot of the early scholars, Western scholars who wrote about the religion, happened to be British, so they wrote it with their accent.
Right. Okay. So tell us, how did you learn about this shooting yesterday? Where were you when you heard about it, and how did you hear about it?
I was actually preparing at my home to head over to my local Northern Virginia temple, my local Gurdwara, and I got a call from our executive director saying, I just got a call that there's been a shooting at the Gurdwara. I was in a state of shock. The first thing I did was I called my father, who was already at the Gurdwara, and said, Dad, there's been a shooting at the Wisconsin Gurdwara. How is everything over there? Do people know yet?
He was at the very place of worship where the shooting occurred.
No, he was at the... He was at our local Gurdwara outside of Washington, D.C.
Maybe you should explain that term, because that's another one that people, I think, aren't familiar with.
I apologize. Gurdwara is the word for Sikh temple. It's a Sikh house of worship. It means door to the guru, because when you go to the Gurdwara, you're looking to open yourself up to spiritual meditation.
Right. Okay. And so you called your father.
I called my father, and as I was speaking to him, one of the gentlemen he was with got a call from someone he knew in Wisconsin saying, did you hear this? Did you hear this? And from everyone I've spoken to, that's how this story spread across the country. Because our community is such that you know people everywhere. And so phone calls just spread across the network. And everybody across our community found out. Everyone was in a state of shock. When my dad came home that evening, after I had been working on this issue for a while with SolDef, I said, Dad, this is looking like it's going to have the same impact as another 9/11. This is another situation where, because of the incident, it appears on its surface with very little information that we could be in a situation where people that our family knows were attacked because they looked different. They attacked because they were exercising their fundamental right to practice their faith in this country.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we're with Navdeep Singh, who's policy advisor for the Sikh American Legal Defense and Education Fund. He joins us here in Studio 3A. Chuck Kornbach has been on the line with us from Wisconsin Public Radio. Chuck, I'm going to let you go now because we know it's a busy day for you at Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. And he's probably already gone, which I don't blame him for. So, Navdeep, your organization, of course, has people on the ground in Oak Creek. And what are they there to do? What are they finding as they navigate this tragedy?
Our executive director is on the ground, as well as working with other members of the community. They are there to provide support to the community. First, to help liaise with federal law enforcement, with whom we've had a long-standing relationship. The second, to help the community organize itself, to help start the healing process. And third, to help them answer those questions that they get from the media, the questions that you and I are talking about today. Who are the Sikhs? How do you respond to those questions? How do you explain such a deeply personal thing as your faith to someone who sticks a microphone in your face?
But this is not the first time your community has been targeted. How have you in the past explained or distinguished your faith from Islam, for example, which has been the sort of the more traditional target of hate acts in this post-9/11 period?
Well, I'll take the example of an incident that occurred just a few months ago. A Gurdwara in neighboring Michigan was vandalized. There was a lot of hate messages shown on it. And what we said then is, explain what Sikhism is. We believe in one God, who is the God of all. We believe in meditation on that God and love for all of humanity. As an outgrowth of that love for humanity, we believe in community service. So you have an obligation to stand up for the rights of all others. Just as that caller earlier talked about how she was saved by those two Sikhs, they weren't just being good Samaritans there. they were doing their religious duty to help someone in need.
That's a really important and interesting point. We're talking about the Sikh community and the massacre in Oak Creek. If you're connected to the story, if you're Sikh yourself, or if you live in the Milwaukee area, what conversations has this prompted at home, at work, and at your place of worship? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, or send us an email, talk@npr.org. We'll have more with my guest, Nabdeep Singh, after a short break. I'm Tom Gelton. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Tom Gelton in Washington. And here are some headlines from stories we're following today here at NPR News. NASA's robotic explorer named Curiosity plunged through the skies of Mars and landed safely on the planet's surface early this morning. Soon, the first images from the rover were beamed back to an elated team at NASA's Mission Control Center. More images and video of the landing will follow in the days to come. Curiosity's two-year mission is to examine rocks within the 96-mile crater it landed in. It'll also look for carbon-based molecules and other evidence that early Mars had conditions friendly for life. Also, Syrian Prime Minister Riyad Hijab has reportedly fled the country in what could be a new blow to President Bashar al-Assad's regime. Syrian government officials say he had been fired, but Syrian opposition activists claim he defected. The prime minister would be the most senior defector to date from Assad's government, which is fighting a rebellion that's now in its 17th month. Details on those stories and, of course, much more coming up later today on All Things Considered. For the rest of this hour, we're talking about the shooting at the Sikh Gurdwara, or place of worship, in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Specifically, we're talking about the Sikh community, who they are, what they believe, and how the attacks on September 11th changed things for them. Nabdeep Singh is my guest. He's a policy advisor with the Sikh American Legal Defense and Education Fund. You can join us by calling 1-800-989-8255. And before we go back to our guest, Nabdeep Singh, let's go now to a call. This is Adam, who's calling us from Boston, Massachusetts. Adam, you're on the air. Thanks for calling Talk of the Nation.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. This is a horrible, horrible incident, of course. It just, I think, relates to all of us, no matter what religion or cultural background we are. I'm calling partly because I'm terrified of gun violence and the possibility of these kinds of things happening, but also because my brother is married to, his wife is Sikh, and her family and extended family is all over New York and Maryland and Virginia and Pennsylvania and also California. And I am in somewhat a special kind of place in knowing the Sikh community, the Sikh religion, how it is. It took me, you know, quite a few steps to learn and understand it. It was very new to me 15 years ago when he and his wife married, but families came together to plan weddings and understand each other's perspective. And I learned it's very much like Christianity in certain ways, a single God and people. Leaders sacrificing that formed the religion in similar ways and values that are similar. And yet there are certain cultural pieces that are very different, that are totally alien. And all of that is very interesting and very, part of the story. But all along, that really, in some ways, doesn't matter, or what matters even more to me in some ways is that this is relevant to all of us, I think the conversation really needs to be addressed to all of us. I appreciate that you all are trying to focus on, you know, a particular sort of aspect. But, you know, for me, it just raises the fear of, you know, this is their problem. And any time one of these things happens, we definitely compartmentalize it and say, that's someone else's problem, thank God, and understandably. But this inability of Americans to just see people as human beings and instead kind of divide up into cultural differences, making us just different beings, that just really kind of slows down things like we're all in threat, we're all in danger of kind of crazy stuff going on. And
absolutely.
My God, the resource is lost.
Okay.
Like
thank you so much, Adam. You're making really important points. Going back to Navdeep now, Adam made the point that in his view, after learning from about Sikhism as a result of his brother being married to a Sikh woman, he says that in his view, it's has a lot in common with Christianity. How did you feel about that characterization?
I thought that was an apt comparison. Sikhism is a religion based on love of the divine and love of the creation of the divine. And all faiths, at the end of the day, are talking about the same thing. How do we love God and how do we love what God created? And so it's a reflection that I say that as Sikhs we always say, Sikh means student. We're just learning how to love God through this particular way by our particular teacher. That doesn't mean that our teacher is the only acceptable teacher. God would not have created so many faiths, so many forms of love, if his creation did not need it.
You know, Navdeep, we've seen extremism over the years, over the centuries in Christianity. We've certainly seen extremism in Islam. And yet it's hard to find examples of extremist thought in the Sikh religion. Am I not correct?
Yes. Faith-based extremism is extremely rare. Sikhism is a religion based on compassion, humility, hard work, equality, and community service.
I want to go to a couple of emails now. First of all, from Emily in Milwaukee. She says, my family lives in Milwaukee, and we were preparing for my daughter's birthday party as we heard the news. As party guests arrived, many chatted about hearing the news. Our hearts ache for all those impacted, and we are deeply saddened that such hate exists not only in our world, but here in our backyard. That's from Emily in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Jim in Chico, California, writes this. He says, please ask your Sikh guest what would be appropriate and respectful ways to express support and concern to Sikh neighbors. I am a Christian pastor who is heartbroken by this shooting. We have a Sikh community in a nearby town. How can I and my church be helpful to them? Navdeep.
The easiest thing to do, and one thing we encourage everyone to do, go to the Gurdwara, go to the Sikh temple, introduce yourself, pray with them.
Are non-Sikh worshippers welcome at your temples?
The doors of a Gurdwara are always open. And after this incident, the response of the Sikh community around the country has been, how do we open our doors even wider? They want you to come. They want you to come and pray with them because the prayer area is open for all persons of all faith. And then we have the communal meal, langar, which was started as a sign of equality. All people sit together. It did not matter if you were a king or you were a pauper. You were all equal in the eyes of God. Did not matter if you were Hindu, Muslim, or Sikh. All are equals in the eyes of God. So all should come and partake together as a common humanity.
And one of the sad things about the incident yesterday is, in fact, women were preparing that very communal meal at the time when the gunman arrived on the scene.
Absolutely.
Let's go now to Zia, who is on the line from St. Louis, Missouri. Zia, thanks for calling Talk of the Nation. You're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to offer my condolences to your guest, Mr. Nadeep Singh, and to the entire Sikh community on this great tragedy. There's a senseless violence and senseless loss of life. I think the couple of things in addition to that which it brings to me as a member of a minority as well, I'm an American Muslim, is two things. As your guest, Ms. Nadeep Singh, said, that this act of violence could have been because of the fact that there's a community who prays differently, who looks differently, and that's the reason they were targeted. If that's the case, not only the Sikhs in the U.S., but all the other minorities need to be concerned and are concerned because whether they be Muslims, Hindus, Baha'is, Buddhist, or even Jewish temples that you've seen have been targeted. And any time a place of worship is targeted like that, it is a matter of shame for the entire American nation. All of us are ashamed by these acts. When as a minority, we are concerned even more because I think, could it be next? But one thing that I find, which has been, as an American Muslim, is a matter of great concern to me, which I think needs to be part of this discussion, is that we've heard in the past, even after 9/11, the first victim was actually a Sikh, who was attacked because he was mistaken right. to be a Muslim. And then the recent attack on the Gurdwara in Michigan, because that they thought was a mosque.
Yeah.
And there's some suspicion, although not confirmed as of yet, that the Sikh temple could have been targeted because they thought it was a Muslim place of worship. If that is the case, I think the authority and the society as such needs to also provide some education and information and protection for the hundreds of Muslim mosques around the country, because I think the intended target, it seems in the past, we're not sure of this one, but it seems was the Muslim community. And I think any time any of us is attacked, whether it's any minority, that's a matter of great concern. And
okay.
one last thing I also wanted to
Quickly,
make
Zia.
About this gun violence. I think our politicians need to stand up in the Second Amendment being there. Times have changed. It is for the leaders of this nation to take this up and stand up to the gun lobby, that anyone can go and take these automatic weapons and create a massacre. I think we need to relook at this thing. We need to address this so these tragedies don't happen and senseless loss of life does not happen.
Okay.
Once again, my condolences to you, Mr. Singh, and to the all the Sikh community.
Thank you so much, Zia. Thank you so much for calling. And Navdeep, we have, as you've noticed, many calls today from Muslims who are concerned and feel bad because they have this sense that the Sikh community in Milwaukee could very well have been targeted out of ignorance or mistaken identity, pointing out that Sikhs and Muslims in some ways look alike. I mean, Sikh men wear turbans, and of course, some Muslim men wear turbans as well. Is there anything that you can tell our audience about the way that you dress and why you dress the way you do, and you know what we can learn from that?
Yes, well, there are over 700,000 Sikh Americans in this country, and almost 99% of the people you see in this country who wear turbans are actually Sikh Americans. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't say that to condone violence against any community. Whenever any community is oppressed, we must all stand up and we must all stand shoulder to shoulder with them. But in terms of articles of faith, these are deeply personal articles of faith, part of us, which are given to us by our gurus as signs of our independence and the idea that as a Sikh, you are a servant of God. Therefore, you must accept God so you do not cut your hair. The second point is you stand out. You have an obligation to stand out because if should anyone need help, it's the same as going to a police officer. You recognize them by their uniform. You recognize the Sikh by their uniform. You know that they are there to help you.
Navdeep Singh is policy advisor for the Sikh American Legal Defense and Education Fund. He's with us here in Studio 3A. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And you can join us in what remains of this hour by calling 1-800-989-8255. Now, Navdeep, you have a long-standing relationship with the FBI in terms of educational outreach, in terms of training. What is the focus of that effort, and what do you expect to see in that regard now going forward?
We hope and expect to see continued training with the FBI. We have a law enforcement education program, which we started actually in 1999, prior to 9/11, which goes out and trains federal and local law enforcement and teaches them these are the articles of a faith of a Sikh American. If you see someone with a turban, this is why they wear it. Sikh values are American values. We're a shared community, and these are your neighbors. Because what you find is with police investigations, when the law enforcement, members of law enforcement, are able to relate to and have a cultural understanding of the community member that they're dealing with, the investigation goes a lot more smoothly and they get a lot more information to help that community member.
Now, Navdeep, as we were talking earlier, the FBI still counts hate crimes against Sikhs in the same category as crimes against Muslims. And there was, of course, this initiative from some members of Congress, a letter earlier this year in April, I believe, asking the FBI to distinguish Sikhs and Muslims. How did you feel about that initiative? First of all, why, how was it that Sikhs and Muslims got lumped together in the first place? And what has been your community's involvement or response to that initiative from members of Congress to the FBI?
Well, SALDF has been one of the organizations that has been spearheading the efforts, along with our partners, to get this category added. Simply, it's put like this. The FBI defines a set of standard data that every law enforcement agency must collect. One of the things that they do not define is they do not have a category for anti-Sikh crimes. That means that crimes that are purposely gone against Sikhs or in which the victim is a Sikh. So what we're having is a question of, we don't have reliable data because the people who collect that data don't do it. They don't include anti-Sikhs, therefore we cannot have a reliable count of how many hate crimes are actually reported to the FBI, reported to local law enforcement, and how law enforcement can better tailor its efforts to serve the community and conduct better policing strategies. This is all about improving the ability of law enforcement to do their job.
Okay, we have just a few minutes left in this program, but I want to go now to Paula, who's on the phone from Florida. Good afternoon, Paula. Thanks for calling Talk of the Nation.
Good afternoon. I join you in profound sadness. I grew up about 5 miles from Oaks Creek, and it was an idyllic childhood. That's always how I felt about it. When I went to college in the 60s, I had my first multicultural experiences. I didn't know until that, but one of my best friends was an Indian Sikh, and I learned about the world in college, and this can't be Milwaukee. I live only about 1 mile from where the shooter lived. I frequently, when I'm home visiting, ride my bicycle in that neighborhood. This isn't my Milwaukee. I'm very saddened. Thank you.
And did you, when you grew up near Oak Creek, were you familiar with the Sikh community?
No, they weren't there at that time in the sense of having a building. I do remember my friend from college. She was a graduate student at the time. I was an undergraduate, and we had great fun and great joy, and she taught us cooking, and these were all new things to me. I was a South Side of Milwaukee kid. I didn't know about the big world,
well,
but I began to learn in college, and I can't understand this.
Thank you so much for that call, Paula. I've just been impressed by how many callers we've had today expressing condolences for the Sikh community, and I think that is a very encouraging response. Navdeep Singh, our guest here in Studio 3A, is a policy advisor with the Sikh American Legal Defense and Education Fund. Navdeep, thank you so much for coming in today. And again, as all of us have said, our condolences to your community on this sad occasion.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you to all of your listeners for impressing upon us that we are part of America.
Thank you. And tomorrow, cybersecurity, what the experts are worried about and what can be done about it. Join us for that. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Tom Gelton in Washington.